hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Kia ora te whānau. Welcome to Sunday night. Thanks for inviting me into your room or your living room or wherever you are hanging out with your bubble right now. You might have lots of questions buzzing around in your brain if you're anything like me right now. Like, how long is level 3 going to last? Will we ever get to level 2, level 1? Will life ever be normal again? Which takeaway am I going to get when level 3 starts? Which drive-thru will have the shortest line? Really big questions. Another one of my questions that I've had over the last few weeks has been, what does faith look like in lockdown? And it's something I've been mulling over, because the reality is we don't have a lot of the things that we have relied on in the past. We don't have church services like we used to. We don't have the worship team leading us like we used to. We don't have connect groups running like they used to. You know, we have some small things that are sort of similar, but most of the things that I personally have relied on, and I know that many of us have relied on in the past to sort of keep our faith alive and growing in what God wants us to do, is not there. And it's been a good time to stock take and to ask this question, what does faith look like when all those things that we rely on sort of like, they're meant to be the bonuses, the extras, the bits and pieces that, you know, help us, but they're not meant to be the main thing. But when they get taken away, we sort of realise that maybe they were kind of the main thing a little bit. And I've felt really challenged through this time that I want to have a faith that has substance, that doesn't rely on going to a church service or going to a connect group or being led in worship, but it has a depth and a beauty about it without any of those things needed. And I'm sure many of you guys have been thinking about these questions as well, and feeling that stretch and feeling that challenge in yourself to really pursue God in your own time, sort of on your own terms. And it's been challenging, I know, because we're all at home with a lot of people maybe in close quarters, and sometimes we're not getting the personal space or the time outdoors that we might be used to. So lots of questions. At the moment, on Sunday nights, we're going through this series called Faith on the Road, and we are looking at the book of Luke. And I'm really excited to share with you some thoughts from Luke chapter 7 tonight. So I'm going to start by reading Luke chapter 7, verse 1, and we're going to look at this question of what does faith look like in lockdown through the lens of this chapter. So Luke chapter 7, verse 1 says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. And so they were on their way to the Roman centurion's house. And as they were getting close to the house, the centurion sent out some friends to go and meet Jesus. And they had a message from the centurion. And the message was this: Jesus, don't worry about coming to my house. I'm not even worthy that you come to our house, but please just say the word and my servant will be healed. And I know this will happen because I'm a man who works under authority of my officers, and I have authority over my soldiers, and whatever I say they do. and I recognize the authority that you have. So just say the word and...
Sorry.
just say the word and he'll be healed. Don't even worry about coming to our house anymore. And Jesus stopped and he turned around and said to the crowd of people that were walking along with him, "Wow, I haven't seen someone with so much faith like this in all of Israel." And so we read in Luke that the Roman centurion's friends went back home after they'd delivered the message to Jesus, and they found that, yes, indeed, the servant had been healed. The servant who was sick was now well again. And the main point of the story that I really want you to grab is not that the servant was healed, although that is great and amazing, and Jesus does heal, and that is something to celebrate. The main point of this story is not the healing, but the faith of the centurion. It wasn't necessarily the faith of the centurion that Jesus could heal. It was the fact that he recognized that Jesus held authority. Now, the centurion had a perspective of authority in his everyday life. He was under authority and he had authority over other people. So this was not a foreign concept to him. But he also recognized that Jesus held spiritual authority over sickness. And it was that belief that put faith inside of him that meant that he was able to ask Jesus to come and heal his servant. And the fact that he just said to Jesus, "Just say the word," is such a powerful line. And I just want you to think about that a little bit more. "Just say the word and my servant will be healed." You know, the words that Jesus speak can turn us from death to life. They can move us from darkness into light. Just like in Genesis 1, where God created the world. And what happened? He spoke, and light entered darkness. He spoke, and the waters parted, and land appeared. His voice, the sound of his voice, his word, changed things in the atmosphere. Now, right now, all of us have a pretty clear perspective of authority because we have been given a word by our Prime Minister. She has spoken a word and we have all stayed in our bubbles and stayed at home because she holds authority over us and we respect that authority. So we sort of understand right now what it means to live under the authority of our Prime Minister and our government. But I want you to think about, what does it look like to live in a way that recognizes the authority of Jesus over your life? Is that something you've thought about recently? When you think about Jesus, do you think of him as powerful? Do you think of him as the one who calls the shots in your life? Do you think of him as the one who has created everything, this whole world we live in, who has designed us and knows us and has made us for a purpose? Do you think of him that way? Because our faith flows from this knowledge that God is in control, that no matter what happens, no matter what we face, whether we think it's good or bad or whether it's terrible, he is still in control. And that's what it means for Jesus to have authority. You would have heard the word sovereign, that God is sovereign, and that's sort of another word to describe that God is over all. There is nothing above him. There is nothing that surprises him. There is nothing that is outside of his knowledge or his domain of authority. He has authority over everything. And it's because of this knowledge that we can have faith and we can act in faith. And one of the actions that I want to challenge you to take this week is the act of faith of asking God to speak to you. His voice speaking into your life. What it requires of us is faith that what he has to say to us is going to be full of life. It's going to do us good. It's going to shape us and form us. And it's going to point us in the right direction. So what would it look like for you to ask Jesus to speak into your situation right now? And what are some of the things that stop us from asking Jesus to speak into our situation? I think some of the things that stop me are firstly that I'm impatient, that I'm looking for answers, and sometimes I'm so set on finding the answer that I forget that I'm meant to be just pursuing Jesus himself, and that the answer will come when I need it. One of the other things that might stop us from asking Jesus to speak into our situation is just the fact that we don't know how to ask him. Or maybe we're in a space right now where we're finding it really hard to get any time alone, any personal space away where we can really just sort of spend time with him, talking to him. Another reason why we don't ask Jesus to speak into our situations is that we're so busy filling our life with noise, with the sound of other things that feel, they seem comforting, they seem like they will do us good, they seem like they'll bring us life. But all it is just noise. Whereas Jesus' word spoken into our situation brings life. And you know how Jesus said to the woman at the well, like, the water that I give you will last forever and you will never thirst again. Like, there's just no comparison to what Jesus offers us. And his word brings life. So I want to challenge you. Are you filling the space in your life with noise? Or are you listening for his voice? The reality is, and this is something that I want you to know tonight, is that he longs to speak to you into your situation, and he knows your situation, and he has compassion for you. Some of you watching tonight are finding yourselves in really hard spaces, and you might be scared, you might be anxious, you might be feeling alone, you might be worried about the future, you might be facing sickness, you might be facing relational difficulties and challenges, and you might be wishing that things were really a lot different to how they are right now. And even in those spaces, Jesus wants to speak into those spaces and bring life. I want to finish with a story that's in the same chapter of Luke chapter 7, which talks about a situation where Jesus reached out to someone who was in a really dark place.
So straight after Jesus healed the centurion's servant, he went to another village, and on his way there, he met a funeral procession. A young man had died, and they were carrying his body to the cemetery to be buried. He was the only son of a widow. And in Luke 7, verse 13, it says, "When the Lord saw the grieving mother, his heart broke for her." This woman had lost everything. She had lost her only son. She was also a widow, so she had lost her husband as well. The people that would protect her and care for her in her old age were gone. And in her time of darkness, Jesus speaks to her. And this is what he says. with great tenderness, he said to her, "Please don't cry." There's no greater word in the Greek language to describe the depth of emotion that Jesus felt for this woman. He felt for her in her grief and in her sorrow. And he spoke to her with compassion and tenderness and kindness. Don't cry. Luke 7, verse 14 says, "Then Jesus stepped up to the coffin and touched it. When the pallbearers came to a halt, Jesus said to the corpse, 'Young man, I say to you, arise and live.'" Even when it seems like all hope is lost and things are too far gone, too broken, too hard, Jesus speaks life and he says, "Arise and live." Immediately, the young man moved, sat up, and spoke to those nearby. Jesus presented the son to his mother, alive, and a tremendous sense of holy mystery swept over the crowd as they witnessed this miracle of resurrection. The words that Jesus speaks always bring life. And right now, he wants to speak to you. Right now, wherever you are, he is there. And he knows your situation. And he has compassion for you. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until we get to level 3 or level 2 or things go back to normal. It's time to ask in faith. Say the word and your servant will be healed. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. All you need to do right now is just stop. Just be still for a moment and listen. Dial down the noise, the false comforts. And this is what you need to ask. Lord, what do you want to say to me? And then you listen. You can ask this question any time of day or night, but the most important thing is that you ask it. Lord, what do you want to say to me right now? I've prayed this prayer while doing the dishes. I've prayed this prayer while sitting at my dining table, working from home. Lord, what do you want to say to me right now? And if something really random comes into your mind that doesn't make sense, you can ask a follow-up question. What does that mean? So right now, we're going to take 30 seconds and I'm just going to give you some space to ask that question. You might want to write down in a notebook what you sense God speaking to you. And if you don't hear anything, that's okay. Just know that he is there with you right now in the room. That he is close. He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows your situation. He has authority over every area of life. Nothing is out of his control. So right now, let's take a moment to ask this question together. Are you ready? Lord, what do you want to say to me right now?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.